into the hearts of each of our wives and children and draw them, O God, closer, ever closer to You. O Lord, is our prayer. We know, Father, that our churches will never rise above our homes. Help us to get a vision of the urgency of this calling. Be with us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the high calling of God upon our homes. I don't know how many people that is for you. For me, it's 10. My wife and I had 8 children. But we all know that it doesn't stop there. Children grow. They get married. They have companions. And they have children. And so, for me right now, it's no longer 10. We're going on 30 plus. And we all know where those numbers go, don't we? In less than 10 generations, in just 6 or 7 generations, there's not enough digits on a calculator to tell you how many people you are going to become. Just you and your family. In 6 or 7 generations, it's a tremendous number. It's millions. I trust that you are aware of that, and I trust that you are impressed with that. I'll tell you someone who knows those numbers. It's the devil, brother. Amen. He knows those numbers, and because he knows those numbers, he wants to get his foot in the door into our homes. And when I say get his foot in the door, I'm talking practical. I'm talking sinful influence in everyday life. I'm talking sin that God hates. In little increments to bring it into our homes. I'm not talking about making atheists out of our children. You didn't succeed just because your children aren't atheists. The devil doesn't care if he doesn't make atheists out of our children or bring us to the end of total apostasy. He just wants to get his foot in the door in our homes. That's the way he begins. Because he knows what he can do. When he gets his foot in the door in our homes, he wants to bring some of his influence right into our home, right in the midst of godly teaching, right in the midst of some good fellowship at church. In it comes, back door, low key. He wants to bring in some of his fads and fashions. He wants to bring in some of his focus on money. Just a little bit of covetousness. Not much. Just a little bit. He wants to bring in some of his music. He don't need to play it all the time. Just some of it. Just bring it in. A little of his entertainment. A little of his media. Some of his voices over the radio. I know there's good sermons preached on the radio, but that's not all that comes over the radio. And please don't react when I mention some of those things. I know it's easy to react, and I know that some of those things have been used as a blessing, even as a tool in the kingdom of God. But I tell you this morning, the scriptures teach us that we are not ignorant of his devices. And I just tell you this morning, if we ignore those things, or if we justify those things, then we are ignorant of his devices. Let me tell you what ignorant means. Ignorant, the root word of ignorant is ignore. We just ignore those things. And he loves it. And I just tell you, I've been challenged before. I've been told, Brother Dale, you focus too much on outward things. Oh, that just hurts. I don't want to focus on outward things. And so I search my heart. And I just tell you, I don't focus on outward things. I focus on Christ. I focus on the heart. That is my desire. But I refuse to ignore outward things. I don't want to be ignorant of his devices. So as I think of all those people those millions, just a few generations down the road ahead of us. I want us to know this morning, we're not responsible for all of those people, but it does begin with us. The direction that you set in your home, you can have an influence on all those people. You will have an influence on all of those people by the leadership that you have in your home today. The Anabaptists were about 16 generations ago. If a generation is 25 years, 400 years ago, 16 generations ago, there they were. And you read in Deuteronomy, 16 years is quite a while, we think. But you read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says that God is faithful unto 1,000 generations. Whoa, how long is that? It's all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way down to us today, four times. God is faithful. Amen. The challenge is, are we going to be faithful for just one of them? That's the burden that we have upon our hearts. The Anabaptists were faithful. We still sing that song today. Faith of our fathers. And what do we sing? We're living still. It's still here. They chose a destination. They set a direction. They took their turn to stand up, to rise up for their faith and for their homes and for their families and their individual lives. And we sing of them. Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. And brothers, that fire, that was their bodies. They were burned at the stake. But I want you to know that the things that we've been called to today, we haven't been called to serve in that capacity yet. But the things that we face today are no less challenging than the things that they face. We need to realize that. And I trust that future generations can sing of us. Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of prosperity, in spite of pleasure, in spite of technology, in spite of compromise, in spite of the deception of this world. I tell you, that is our calling. Old Satan, he smiled when he looked down at men. His new tricks were working again and again. No more persecution. No shortage of bread. God's church and His people, well loved and well fed. The saints who once gathered in secret, unknown, now worship in freedom on land of their own. In comfortable buildings, designed and well planned, shade trees in the churchyard, no tax on the land. The Bible, the book of the ages suppressed, the book that our forefathers prayed to possess, now sold in abundance, on sale, guaranteed. We all have our own. We all have three, and we know how to read. The faith of our fathers that died for the Lord, that stood through the fire and dungeon and sword, now stands to the ultimate test, if you please, of compromise, comfort, abundance, and ease. Deception, that slow, subtle mist that sets in, that just fogs out the line that defines what is sin. And even the devil, though black as the night, has now been transformed to an angel of light. And old Satan smiled as he gazed at the view. His new tricks were working, too good to be true. No more persecution. No shortage of bread. God's church and His people, well loved and well fed. God, give us fathers. God, give us men. God, give us guardians of our homes that won't let the devil get his foot in the door in our homes, and bring His influence and the influence of this world upon our children. I want to say a little bit more about that tomorrow. But God, give us a vision of the urgency of our calling. Give us a wake-up call. I tell you, brothers, this morning, leadership means to lead. And by the very definition of to lead, it means that it involves other people. It's not a selfish individual thing that gives you liberty to do what you want to do just because you have the position. I want you to listen close here. I know this is of God, but it's so misunderstood by men. Position is not liberty. Position is not authority. Position of leadership is responsibility. May we see it no other way. And that responsibility is from God. God gave you a job to do. And you will answer to God for getting that job done. I want to tell you something this morning about the job that God gave you to do. God will not do for you the job that He gave you to do. Now, He'll come alongside. He'll help you. He'll answer prayers. He's right there. He won't forsake you. But it's your responsibility, and you can't dump it off on others. You can't dump it off on your wife. You can't dump it off on the church or anybody else. You will answer to God for the job that He gave you, for your family, and for your home. Now, with that responsibility, God gave you authority. That is the only reason you have it. It's to get the job done that He gave you. He didn't give it to you to throw it around with a big weapon. He gave you a job to do. God is faithful. God will never give anyone a job to do or require anything of anyone that He does not equip them for. We are equipped by God. God endued us with power from Him to get the job done. And it is a high calling, brothers, to use that authority for that purpose. To lead means that you have chosen a destination. It means you are going somewhere. There is a direction established in leadership, and there are others who are going to follow you. And the destination of others depends upon your leading. And those who follow us, they have an eternal soul. God gave it to them, and He gave them to us. An amazing trust. And when they follow you, or when they go in a direction that you allow them to go, and don't restrain them, the eternal destination of their soul depends upon you. That's the way God established it. That is the role that God has called us to fill in our homes. There's an old saying that I would like to mention here. It's been said that some men choose their destination and then accept the journey. That's the way the Anabaptists were. Amen. They chose their destination and nothing could turn them aside. I mean, whatever the journey took, they had their eye on the goal. Others choose their journey. They choose how they want to live. They choose whether anybody can tell them anything or not. And then they accept the destination. And really, brothers, right there, isn't that the difference between the two kingdoms? I mean, the kingdom of God, they choose their destination. They choose their single eye upon the Lord Jesus and whatever it takes to get there, they're good to go. But this world chooses the way they want to walk. They choose the life they want to live and they accept the journey. Brothers, we have chosen our destination. Faith of our fathers is living still here today. We've chosen the goal for our families, and we accept the responsibility from God. We accept the journey. Well, it's not my goal here today to give you any 10 or 20 or 50 step formula to a godly home. I'm not sure that I could do that. And yes, there are some things that must be in place. There just simply are. And I plan to mention some of them. But I believe the high calling of God is more than that. The high calling of God is more than just a 10-step formula to a godly home. It's having humility. It's having brokenness before a holy God. It's having the grace of God to be able to translate those steps, however many they are, into your situation and your home and into the hearts of your children and their situation and their personality and their heart. We have to be able to translate it. I remember years ago when Brother Denny first came out with the Godly Home series. That was a joy. Seemed to me like that thing went everywhere. And it did. And it was a blessing. But it was just a few years later, there were some comments that started coming back to Brother Denny. And as I remember, they were a little confusing to Brother Denny. But there were comments like, "Brother Denny, we did everything you said, and it didn't work." And I want you to know, I think I believe those people. I'm not really questioning them. What I am saying this morning is you can do all 10 or 20 or however many steps there are, you can do them perfectly. But if you're not broken, if you're not walking humbly before a holy God, if you give the enemy some room to get his foot in the door and bring some of his influence into your home in the midst of those steps that you are taking, you're going to think that those things don't work. And they won't. We need to search our hearts. I tell you this morning, I speak out of tremendous weakness. I speak out of tremendous failure. Sometimes I speak out of an intense desire that I could go back and do it over. I think sometimes if you give me the chance to go back and do it over, I'd pull the yes lever so hard I'd break the yes lever. I can't stand some of the mistakes that I know that I have made. And there may be some young men here, and there are. I've seen many. God bless you, each one. But there may be some young men here who feel like you have this thing all figured out. You've seen your father's mistakes. And you're right. You've come out from under the mistakes of your grandparents. You've read the Word. You've prayed. And you pretty well got this thing figured out. But I want you to know, young men, this morning, you might be in for a lot of surprises. Big ones. After Brother Denny came out with the Godly Home series, and I tell you, when he came out with that thing, he came out with it with passion. He came out with it with prayer. He came out with it right. But in the years that followed, Brother Denny was in for a lot of surprises. Big ones. So big that it almost confused Brother Denny. And I tell you, I don't say that negatively. I don't say that judgmentally. I don't say that negatively in any way. I tell you, I say it reverently. But Brother Denny was in for a lot of surprises. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know anyone who was more prayed up. I don't know anyone who was more fervent in spirit. I don't know anyone who had fasted more. I don't know anyone who had come out more from under the mistakes of his parents and his church and his tradition and his culture than Brother Denny. And you know, my testimony is the same. I've had a lot of surprises. things didn't just always go and turn out the way I thought the scriptures even would guarantee that they would. And I would suppose that that is probably the testimony of most of the older men that are here. And brothers, that should tell us something. Now, I don't want you to be discouraged by that. I don't want you to be confused by that. I'm just saying the high calling of God is not just knowledge. The high calling of God is the low road. It is. It's brokenness. It's not having it all figured out. It's crying out to God because you don't have it all figured out. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God resists the know-it-all, but He pours grace on the soul that cries out for direction. And God will resist you even in your children. And it doesn't matter what kind of pride you have. God resists the proud. It doesn't matter if it's spiritual pride or if it's know your Bible pride or denominational pride or thinking you have things in order in your home pride or that you know more than your father pride. God resists the proud. And He gives grace to the humble. Brothers, the leadership that we've been called to isn't just position, isn't just authority. It's not just leading. Leadership is breaking. Leadership is communicating. Leadership is being able to connect with others. Leadership is serving. Leadership is humility and it's prayer. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and He will lift you up. And He'll lift you up, exalt you in due time. I want you to know this morning that those that God has given you to follow you, or should I say, those God has given you for you to lead, they are not neutral. That's why it's a high calling. They're born in Adam. They have the Adamic nature. They're in Adam. That's why this calling of leadership in the home is such a high calling. Because we're changing kingdoms for these children. We're leading them out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're leading them out of Adam and into Christ by example, by teaching. I remember, you probably heard this, but I remember years ago there was a young man and he was impressive. He was everything you'd want in a young man. He could preach, he could sing, he could do anything and do it good. And he was a blessing. And he started a courtship with this young sister, and she was kind of the same. She was just a model. She was in her place. She was virtuous. She was a servant. And she was just... And then they got together and had a courtship. And as it got toward marriage, somebody made the comment, "Boy, I wonder what kind of children they are going to have." And somebody answered that question, "At best, the Adamic nature." That's the right answer. That's the kind of children they're going to have. At best, the Adamic nature. And that's exactly the kind of children that every one of us here are going to have. Because they're our children. Even when your children grow up and they're born again, they take a stand for the Lord. Even there is still a tremendous pull from the world around us upon their life. And in the flesh within them, they need a leader at their level. So your children are not going to follow you just because you have knowledge or because you are willing to lead them. They're not going to follow you just because you're called to lead or because you are ordained of God to lead them. They're not going to follow you, most likely, just because you come home from men's leadership with a new zeal and vision to lead them. Your children will follow you when you break your heart before God and before them. And when your life becomes a sacrifice for them at their level. That's the way it was with Jesus. We look to Him for the example and the pattern. And it's no different for us. How did Jesus win the hearts of His people? How did He get His people to follow Him? Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, omnipotent, all-knowing. How did He get His people to follow Him? When He came to His own and His own received Him not. When He was despised and rejected of men. How did Jesus win the hearts of His people? How did He get them to follow Him? Did He use His authority to make it happen? Or did He suffer and serve them? Did He judge them? Or did He pray for them? Did He divorce them for their iniquity? Or did He die for them? Oh God, that we would get a hold of this as leaders. The example of our Lord. Jesus did not win the hearts of His people with His authority or His knowledge or His power or His throne. And I want to say that carefully. But Jesus won the hearts of His people with His sacrifice. It was the low road. He left His throne. He came to earth. He was found in fashion as a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As high as you can be to as low as you can go is how Jesus won the hearts of His people. Brothers, you know that's right. Is the formula the same for us? It is the same. You will never rise above the example and pattern of the Lord. Jesus did not win the hearts of His people with His authority. He won the hearts of His people by His sacrifice. May that soak deep into fertile soil in each of our hearts. And I believe the high calling of God manifests itself here. The high calling of God, I believe, has two faces. It's not just one or the other. One face of the high calling of God is when it's in uniform. It's when you put on the whole armor of God and you use the sword of the Spirit. And you take a stand against sin and you call sin, sin. And you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you use the shield of faith. And having done all, to stand in the evil day. That's one side of the high calling of God. And you'll never fulfill the high calling of God without it. But there's another side. And it's the low road. And it's not laying your armor down. But it's learning to communicate. It's learning to build a relationship. It's humbling yourselves. It is connecting with the hearts of your children at their level. It is learning to win their hearts. Jesus did not win the hearts of His people by His authority. He won the hearts of His people by His sacrifice. I would like to spend the rest of our time here today considering relationships. I can talk about relationships, Brother Leonard, because I'm a prophet. Actually, I'm not a prophet anymore. I didn't like the results. I love people. So we need to relate. It's crucial that we learn to connect with our families. This is probably one of the most foundational things there is for you in producing a godly seed and in your walk with God. This is one of the foundational things that needs to be in place so that you can translate the holiness of the life of the Lord into your children. You can't do it if you don't have a relationship. I've always appreciated the statement, and it's about our faith, but it goes like this. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And that's a good meditation, but it's also true in our homes. I tell you, there's no need to even present a 10 or a 20 step formula to a godly home if you don't have a relationship with your wife and with your children. You can do every step perfectly. And if you don't have a relationship with them, if you haven't connected them with them, then you will think those steps don't work. And they won't. But they do. If you have a relationship with your children, we must have it. We must win their hearts. You know what it means to win the hearts of your children? It means that there's others also trying to win their hearts. That's what the Bible means when it says they that run a race run all but one, receiveth the prize. So out of all these influences, the voices of this world, entertainment, peer pressure, and all of these influences that are trying to win the heart of your child, you won. That means you were the most diligent. That means you were pressing in the hardest. You won their heart. Winning their heart involves homework. Sorry. You can't just come to leadership and then go home and it's over. You've got homework. Diligent homework to win the hearts of your children. It doesn't just happen. And part of that homework is communication. Learning to communicate. Laying the foundation to communicate. Communicating on a wide level. That means being able to talk about everything. Communicating at a heart level. We need to know how to connect with our children. We need to know everything about them. They need to know everything about us. They need to know the things that we believe, and they need to know how much we believe them. We can't just communicate with our children at a surface level or by just giving a few commands when we see a need in their life. But it's by building a relationship with them that goes deep. It's having communication with them that builds this relationship. My wife told me, Dale, if you are going to lead me with wisdom and understanding as my husband so that I can trust you, then you have to know everything about me. I need to have the witness in my heart that you really do understand all of me. If I'm going to trust my whole life and my future into your leadership with confidence and with faith in God and feel secure, then I have to know that you are intimately connected to God and intimately connected to me. Good word. It's for us this morning. I need to know that you take the responsibility that God has given you over my life, that you take it to heart. I have to know that you have listened and heard everything that I have to say and that you understand me. My deepest feelings, my desires, the things that move me, my hurts, my fears. I have to know that you understand me. That you've heard me and spent time on me and taken me before God. I need that, and our children need that. And brothers, that takes time. That takes a listening ear. A big part of communicating is listening. Don't forget that. It's having an ear to hear, and it's not just hearing what they say. It's hearing where they're coming from. It's connecting with their heart. And whether you agree with what they're saying or not, and don't interrupt them to straighten them out if they're telling you how they feel about something, listen close. Find out where they're coming from so that you can speak into their life with counsel and wisdom when the right time comes. They're going to be a lot more interested in what you have to say when you are interested in what they have to say. They're people. They're not robots. They're going to be a lot more interested where you're coming from when we're a lot more interested in where they're coming from. That's what communication is. It's two ways. And communication takes time. And that is one thing that it takes to win their heart. I've heard it said that the best thing to spend on your children is time. I saw a church sign once. It said, God doesn't want your spare time. He wants your quality time. He wants some sacrificial time, not what's left over. And if we're going to win the hearts of our children, we better schedule some quality time. They know if it's spare time or if it's sacrificial time. And it changes the meaning of the conversation. And we need to schedule it to communicate deeply. Not just surface talk. That's what it means to have someone's heart. You see, the heart is not at the surface. It's down in there. You don't get there by cheap talk and cheap chat or by having a few quick words of admonition when you see the need is there. The heart is not at the surface. It's down deep. And that's where we need to go to get the hearts of our children. To communicate with them. And when you've got there, well, then you're dealing with your child. And you're not going to deal with your child until you get there. Schedule some quality time to communicate sacrificially and deeply. Now, it's more than just scheduling time to talk. A foundation to communicate has to be laid. They're not going to just start talking just because you schedule some time. I'm still learning this. Here's why people don't just start talking. They don't just open up about what's down in their heart because that's sacred to them. That's private. Many people actually have one of these on their heart. Do you know why? They have a no trespassing sign on their heart. Because the heart is private property. And it's guarded. And it has to be drawn out. Access to private property has to be earned. You know that. You can't just drive up to somebody's private property that has a no trespassing sign and just go on in. You have to know that person. You have to have permission. You have to have an invitation. So it is with our children's hearts. And some people open their heart quickly. They open their heart easily. Others don't. It's hard for some people to do that. Some people almost can't. Some people almost won't. They need to be drawn out. But brothers, I tell you, this is why many godly homes have wayward children. Or a wayward child. Because dad and mom never got deep enough into the heart and drew out the deep feelings and the hurts and the opinions and all the things that are guarded in a child's heart. We need to go deep to get there. People open up. Wives, children, husbands, everyone, people open up when they feel like it's safe. They don't necessarily open up just because they're under pressure. People open up when they feel it's safe. They open up when they feel connected to you. They open up when they feel loved and cared for. And I just tell you, most people, and this would probably be true with our children, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People all open up when they feel like they're going to be understood. And most people usually know when they're loved and cared for. And I want us to know, brothers, the kingdom of God is people. It's not just doctrine and theology and do's and don'ts in church. The kingdom of God is people. And how you get through to reach people. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus dealt with when He came down to earth. How did He reach the people? He gave His all to reach the people. You need to communicate to get through to people. And to lay that foundation to communicate takes time. So a foundation has to be laid. How do you do that? I'm going to give you some suggestions. Schedule an enjoyable activity. And you can say, oh, Brother Dale, you quit preaching and went to, you know, worldly counseling. But let me tell you something. This little enjoyable trip with your child, put holiness to the Lord over it. Maybe that would work. I tell you, anything that helps you reach the heart of your child to bring holiness there is holiness to the Lord. Schedule an enjoyable activity. I don't think I'll ever forget this. I had a youth tell me one time, they had been at Bible school. And they'd been in classes for several days, and there was all kinds of pressure to open up, and they were receiving pressure to repent and to get right with God, and they wanted to, but they just couldn't respond to this pressure, and it was just there in prayer groups, it was there in the messages, it was just there all week. And the last day of the Bible school, they went for a hike. The group went for a hike in the mountains. And this is what the youth said, something like this. They said, in prayer groups, I was so under pressure, I couldn't open up. In classes and services, I felt pressure to repent and confess. And they couldn't open up. But when they took the hike, when they walked together beside the river, when they felt the breeze together and looked at the mountain together, when they sat down under the trees beside the waterfall together, all of a sudden, they felt like talking. They felt like coming through. Everybody's not like that. But you might have one child that is. You need to learn to translate into each different personality and life to reach their heart. That day did more for that youth than all week. And what am I saying? Certainly nothing against Bible school. I'm a promoter with my whole heart. But I am saying the foundation has to be laid to communicate. And we need to be wise in considering it. I just want to encourage you. When you go home, brothers, do your child a favor. Just think about it and do them a favor just out of the blue. If they ask you why, just tell them there's no reason. I just wanted to. Do it. It's spiritual. Write them a note of appreciation. Show interest in something that they have done. Ask some questions about it. Take time to look at it. Plan that enjoyable activity for the family. Let them plan it. And then you make it happen. That's big stuff with a child. Help them do a project that they've dropped hints about for a long time. And there's a big one. Catch their hints. If you catch their hints, they will catch yours. We so often disregard their childish hints and expect them to just worship God because of ours. They're people. The kingdom of God is people. Think on them. Remember something interesting about them from a couple of years ago that's interesting, and bring it up at the supper table. Make them feel special. Smile at them. You know them. Speak their love language. Lay the foundation to communicate. And when it's laid, just keep laying it. Don't just win their heart. Keep it. Our homes need to be an inviting place, a refreshing place. I'm going to call it a communication station where our children love to be, where they love to come home to. Our children need to have our homes be a place where we know how to enjoy each other. We don't just put up with each other. We enjoy each other. We trust each other. Where the foundation for communication is in place and where we've learned how to communicate at the heart level. Our children need to be fulfilled at home. I've got a few minutes here. Let me just give you some suggestions. I'll just give you three or four, but it's little things, brothers. That's the way it is. I remember when I was going up to Canada a while back for a leadership meeting, and I came into Winnipeg, and it was cold. We don't know anything about that down south. And I just asked him. I just said, "How do you keep warm up here? What kind of coat do you buy?" And you know what he said? He said, "We wear layers. We just put on several more, and that's the way we get warm." He said, "Look over here." He said, "Here's a person." He said, "That's a Winnipegger. See all the layers they got on?" And I tell you, that's the way it is with our children. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's the little things. There's no such thing, I've heard, as a big shot. There's just a little shot that keeps shooting. And so just do the little things and just keep shooting. And you'll win the hearts of your children, but it takes time. And it takes thought, and it takes us turning our hearts towards our children. Number one, I just give you, don't have music playing all the time. That's not good. And play it some. Good music is a good atmosphere, but when someone else is singing to your children, it's not you that's communicating with them. Don't let anybody else have that place. Shut the music off and visit some. When someone has to have their music playing all the time, It's probably because there's an insecurity in their life. There's a void that needs to be filled. Here's another one. Dads, don't do all the talking in devotions. People who talk a lot aren't necessarily the good communicators. Use that time to ask questions. Have each of them pick a verse and tell what they think about it. And listen close to what they say. Make something big out of it. They will get more out of what you say when you get more out of what they say. That's just the way it works. And don't be offended if you plan this devotion and you've got these thoughts and you're all lined up and you're ready to go and one of the children asks the questions and it just kind of takes the subject and sends it over here. Hey, just lay your thing down. Just go over here. And just, that's an opportunity to hear what is in their heart. May God give us the grace to be able to do that. Devotions are a wonderful time to communicate, to read the Word of God together, to communicate to the children how precious this is, how practical it is. Generate all the conversation you can. Let the conversation go wherever the children want to take it. I mean, within reason, you know what I'm saying here. But follow their heart. Private devotions don't do that. And they're good, but I'm just saying, it's good to have family devotions where you communicate. This is a golden opportunity to plant seeds and ask questions from the Word of God and share the depths of your convictions and teach them about God. I'll just tell you, I had an older son one time, and we was having one of them conversations, and it kind of went over here, and so I went over there, and I told him how I felt about that. You know what he said? He said, "Dad, I had no idea you felt that way about that." And I thought, really? I want to challenge you this morning. There's probably areas like that of your children. They don't know where you stand or how strong you feel about it. And doesn't that just open the door for other thinking? They're people. Their mind is working. Here's another one. Always tell your family your plans. Call home. That's a good thing. Don't be so busy that your family doesn't know where you're at. Don't just run off and go. Do what you say you'll do and be where you say you'll be. And if your plans change, call home and tell them so. And if your plans don't change, call home and tell them so. Just communicate. That's what we want them to do for us. We want to know where they're at. We want to know what they're doing. We want to know when their plans change. Let's set the example. Here's another one. Learn how to come home. Home is not the place to open the door and then just release all the frustrations of the day. And let down your guards and then expect them to serve us, you know, because we've had a hard day. If you come home with a negative and a beat and a frustrated spirit and dump it all out at the door, it's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect the whole evening. You just ruined the whole thing. They've had challenges all day long too. You weren't there in the homeschooling. You weren't there when there was a little squabble going on. Mom's been fighting this stuff too. And when we release our frustrations, I just want to tell you, no one is going to open up to you when you're that way. Yes, close the door. I'm not talking to Dad. No one's going to come to you for direction on how to handle a situation. None of your children are going to want to show you something special that they did when that's the way you come home. Let me read a little poem here. I'd like to read this. It's brought some conviction to my own heart, and it's about how a father comes home. He wiped his shoes before the door, but ere he entered, he did more. 'Twas not enough to cleanse his feet of dirt they'd gathered in the street. He stood and dusted off his mind and left all trace of the day behind. In here I will not take, said he, the grief this day has brought to me. Beyond this door shall never go the troubles that are mine to know. He dusted off the stains of strife, the mud that always comes in life, the blemishes of worried thought, all traces of the battles fought, all evil that the day had seen. And when he entered, he was clean. That's how we need to come home. Wives and children can communicate with a man who comes home like that. Children need to look forward to dad coming home. It's so important for a family to feel joy when dad comes home. There's a time to share all of our events of the day. I've found that my family wants to hear about my day, both the good and the bad, and the frustrating. They're there to support me. But save it for supper time. Save it for family time. Make story time out of it. Bring the Word of God into it. Ask the children what they would have done in this situation. Ask them what they did and then tell them what you would have done. We have to communicate to produce a godly seed. I've got to bring this to a close. I'm just going to read you. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read out of Galatians 6:6. I love this verse. It goes like this. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then it says, be not deceived. And that's really an interesting scripture. And I know that the context there is in church. But what a beautiful application for our homes. Let him that is taught in the Word, that's our children, communicate unto him that teacheth. That's us. In all good things, let's be able to talk about everything with our children. Let's take everything and direct it to the principles of the Word of God. Let's bring holiness unto the Lord into every subject that comes up. We can do that. We must do that in our homes. And it takes time. It takes prayer. It takes quality time. But I want to remind us, winning the hearts of our children, that's a job God gave us. That means He's behind us. This is an area you don't need to pray about whether it's God's will. He's right there to come alongside. This is a good area to pray. This is a good area to pray earnestly. God is faithful. These are prayers He wants to answer, so that He can seek a godly seed in our children. And so, brothers, God has called us. God has sent us. We are sent by God to prepare the hearts of our children. Is it getting done? Are we rising up? Is it our priority? Are we being faithful? May God encourage us in our homes. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time. We trust, O God, out of our mistakes, out of our weakness, we could call back to those who are behind us, the younger ones on the trail, on the upward trail, an encouragement. Keep your family together. Communicate with your children in the level of their heart. Father, I pray that you would answer the prayers of these fathers. Bless this assembly, that from this place, in coming home, we would be on their level. Give us the wisdom to know how to win their heart by sacrifice, by breaking. God, I pray, move in the hearts of these men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.